Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You can't go wrong because you're grooving all day long, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Forest have been punished and Cobby got the call. It's Wednesday, 20th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidusha Nantharaja.
Hello, everybody. It's a wonderful Wednesday at the Football Ramble. And thanks to friend of the Ramble, Luke Roberts, for giving us that intro line. Lovely bit of stuff from Luke there, Luke.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a Luke in there, Marcus, as I'm sure we can all agree. And I will make him, for being a friend of the Ramble and contributing that intro line, he will become an honorary member of the Luke Nation.
How about that?
There you go.
What if he doesn't want to
bonus.
Be?
Bonus.
Doesn't have a choice?
Yeah, he can't do it. It's like the Catholic Church. He can't leave.
controversial start.
Would you not be wary of having another Luke in your midst?
No, I'm empowered by it. It's like a Thanos type thing. It's like an Infinity Stone. Every Luke is like an Infinity Stone. I get an Infinity Luke glove and I just punch everyone in the face with it.
Good to know mostly, what you're aiming.
But mostly Marcus and Jim, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, we deserve it.
Yes.
We do deserve it.
That's one thing we can all agree
on. If we lose to you on Jackson Cyclopedia, we deserve to be punched in the face.
Which will always happen.
And is the biggest stone, the one in the back of his palm, that's Luke Littler. That's the last one to get, right?
Yeah, you get a dart stuck in your head. I'm actually not doing the I'm not on the show on Friday, so it's another week of me being the linear.
That's
champion.
How you pad it out?
Yeah, that's bollocks.
Time. Anyway, I must
say, you didn't care about the game, Vish. Change the tune.
No, but it's just
we brought him back to challenge you.
Oh yeah.
I was in the wilderness.
Yeah, you were, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Banned.
Well, you can submit an intro line for next Wednesday show by signing up to our Patreon for just $5 a month. You'll also get ad-free versions of the Ramble, OTC and Upfront, as well as an extended version of every Wednesday Ramble. That will be happening today. Oh my goodness, the chat that we're going to have, ladies and gentlemen.
I've actually got a pretty good story for that.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That you're selling
we'll
it.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's if you fancy than, it, sign up.
It's better than the story of me calling Matt Letizia's daughter-in-law a crackpot.
That's something we can all get behind. Yeah. On top of that, you'll also get Discord access, where Patreon subscribers have been mourning the fact that Livingston are changing the name of their stadium. Great shame, this. And from next season, it will be no longer known as the Tony Macaroni Arena, a.k.a. the Spaghetti Had. So do head to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved and share your sadness there. Yeah. Speaking of sadness, Nottingham Forest have been deducted 4 points, although I shouldn't say sadness because that may provide some glee and happiness to the clubs around them.
Yeah, and this is not a laughing matter.
No.
It's not, we have to. We cannot make light
no.
of such a brazen and unfortunate breach of profit and sustainability rules, which are the ultimate arbiter of the sport that we know and love. So very, very important to take this very seriously indeed, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
And also there's no football, so... Yeah, I guess we're just going to have to talk about admin.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it was on Monday it was confirmed that Forest had been docked 4 points for breaching the Premier League profit and sustainability rules. Now, just to remind everybody...
The nerds have taken over.
They have, yeah. This is what happens when boffins run everything, everybody.
Yeah, it is boffins. It's boffin central. Yeah.
Boffins with their calculators, their abacuses, adding up what everyone's spent, the bean counters.
It's a boffin train. Crush the saboteurs. We're on board the bean counting train to Boffin Parkway. Stopping at
don't spend that much money. Let them.
Yeah. I love that. You're going to do the detail in a minute, and I will. I'm sorry being rude here, but like,
it's all right.
I do like the fact that Evangelos...
I'm not a boffin, so I'm not offended.
That is true, actually. Evangelos, we've had enough of experts.
Yeah.
Evangelos Marinakis is essentially his like defence seems to be, I know what you're saying, but I do really just want to do whatever I want.
Yeah. Whenever I think of Marinakis, he's always like trying to go after someone while pulling his trousers up. I don't know what, I think there was a photo of him where they were hanging a bit low.
He's and got energy.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'll get you in a minute.
Yeah.
Just don't run, whatever you do.
Yeah. Anyway, what's happened?
Yeah, he's angry. The rules state that clubs are allowed to make losses of £105 million over three seasons, which I think is fairly generous.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my overdraft isn't anywhere near
that. Imagine if anyone else could do that.
But then I'm not buying players. However, Forest were only permitted to make losses of £61 million as they spent two of the last three seasons, of course, in the Championship. An independent commission found Forest's losses amounted to approximately £95 million.
Which is more than £61
million. It is.
It's a greater amount.
Yes. I mean, when they signed that record amount of players in that window, you know, who knew this was going to happen, quite frankly.
Or when they refused to sell Brennan Johnson before the deadline for the financial.
Well, that was a big argument of theirs, of course.
£6 million of that is just sat in Jesse Lingard's account.
You're not having it back.
Yeah. You gave it
I've
to
spent
me.
It.
Yeah.
Just lying back, flicking through it, just seeing, I'm a soul man.
Earners keepers. Yeah. That's why he's gone to South Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get away from
Marinakis can't, you know, he can't be pulling his trousers up all down the Silk Road or wherever it would be.
Well, presumably they're easier. Well, they're less likely to fall down now that all the money's come out of them. After the problem when you've got a big wallet and no belt.
Well,
we wouldn't know about that, Fish. Why don't you tell us more about that?
I don't have a belt either.
Okay. Well, they were originally going to be hit with a 6-point deduction, Nottingham Forest, 3 points for the initial breach and a further 3 points for the size of Marinakis's belt. No, for the size of the breach. But their early plea and cooperation meant that it was reduced to 4 points, despite their overspend being 77% higher than Everton's.
Yeah, so do you think Man City will get a little big of a cooperation as well?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you've cooperated so well for so long that we'll definitely let you off as well.
I think Man City are just relying on the apocalypse happening a bit earlier. So they're just going to keep this going and then bang, maybe.
But one of the kind of things that's been levelled back at this type of stuff by Forest fans and Everton fans is that, how can Man City get away with it? But it's worth reminding people again, because as you've already mentioned, you guys, like, you know, people don't really care about admin, and fair enough. But so we do it. We should remind people that the Man City case is a very, very different case.
Yes.
The reason it's been going on for so long, there's a number of reasons for it, but it is a far more complicated case.
And they're making sure it stays very complicated.
And they're being very
obstructive as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So,
but, as Everton were, hence their bigger points deduction, and hence it not happening last season, it's happening this season.
Everton kind of focused their ire on the whole process rather than actually defending their corner, right?
Yeah.
Which is a slightly different thing, which you've covered. But finally, on the Man City thing, it's not a simple, open and shut, straightforward assessment about PSR. It's about a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to take a lot longer, and it's not apples and apples, it's apples and oranges.
So Forest have said about the verdict, after months of engagement with the Premier League and exceptional cooperation throughout, this was unexpected and has harmed the trust and confidence we had in the Premier League. It's like, you think because you were nice about it, like you should just be allowed to have broken the rules, essentially. The rules are really, really clear. We said this when
they voted them in.
The
clubs voted these rules in.
They're there and very clear for everyone to see. It's like it's very interesting to me that a couple of clubs seem to think it would just sort of be all right.
Well, to be honest with you, if I was involved at Forest, I would say, take your medicine here, lads. Right, down to it. Let's knuckle down. I honestly would, and I think that's what one or two journalists have said that they think would happen. Because of course, if they appeal, which they may well do, then it could lead to more points, a bigger points deduction.
Yeah, and
in some sense.
Yeah, yeah, and they'll have to weigh that up themselves, and they might look at what happened to Everton and think, oh, maybe we could, snick a point off there. Mm. The best case scenario, but I kind of get the outward projection of anger and annoyance, because obviously it was put to them that by cooperating, you're doing us a huge favour. And obviously that's not necessarily translated in the statement put out by the Premier League. But you can understand why the Premier League wants that cooperation side of it out there, because they want these clubs to be more forthcoming.
An example to be set, kind of thing. Yeah.
And we'll knock a point or two
points
off. Yeah, because of your cooperation. So it's always in the club's best interest to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's worth pointing out that Forest's own finance director in September 2022, Thomas Bonser, warned them that they were on the verge of, being on the wrong side of this sustainability law.
And Daniel Taylor said in his piece on it, and obviously he's been close to that club for a long time, and he's a brilliant journalist, he said his kind of sign-off on the coverage of it when the ruling came down, is he said, it's undeniable that Nottingham Forest could have avoided the first points deduction in their 159-year history if they had been more strategic and less impetuous in their transfer dealings. Ultimately, you spent the money, right? The two things I would say off the back of what Fisher just said that I think is worth balancing it out a little bit is I think that the timing of this is problematic, and I don't fully understand how you could get the timing right, but they surely need to work towards finding a way where this isn't happening with the appeals process and the reduction and the application of points and all the rest of it being happening in a really key part of the season 2 or 3 months before in games that are actually... in situations that are actually going to make a huge difference to the final Premier League table. That's point number one.
So just to jump in there quickly, just in case anybody says, well, the timing's never ideal. Of course not. But at the start of the season, it's more ideal than now.
Do it in the off season.
Yeah.
And what they, surely there's a re- I might be missing something. And I'll come on to my second point in a minute. But off the back of that, if Forest didn't get this point deduction, but it was in the post and they knew it was going to happen towards the end of the season and they got relegated anyway, is there any reason they can't just apply it in perpetuity until they come back up to the Premier League again?
You've
got one in the bank. You can have four. If you, next time you're in the Premier League, you can have 4 points off.
I just think with this process, once it starts during a season, it has to be done before that season.
100%
is finished.
Which brings me on to the second point I just wanted to make super quickly, which is that the issue is also that you are, I think, arguably undermining by doing this, and I understand why they've got to do it, and I understand the clubs have voted it in, and I understand an independent regulator is going to come along soon. But by doing this, it is unquestionable in my mind that you are undermining the integrity of the sporting competition, because a 2-point difference between the way your lawyers that you instruct attack this case is essentially meaning you could stay in the Premier League or not based on how good your arguments are in a fucking room.
Which is
a very, very slippery slope in terms of sport
and
competition.
And the reason why that's an important point is the Premier League have made it clear throughout the process that they do not have a fixed sanctioning policy or recommend set points deduction. As they say, each individual case is treated on its merits and heard by a separate independent commission. So the effectiveness or slipperiness, depending on how what kind of language you want to use, of a chosen lawyer defending them is, as always, the case, very effective.
Yeah, but I mean, this is in the...
Or can be.
Yeah, I get what Luke's saying, and I get what you're saying there, but this is in the event when they've actually broken the rules, I don't even think we should be having that conversation in terms of assessing what Forest did wrong, because they knew something was the issue. The thing I do agree with them with, agree with them about, is the nature of, I suppose, because football's ever moving, and we talked about it, well, Luke talked about it just then, about having this ruling and point deduction come this late in the season. But football's always happening, and by Forest's own accounts, quite literally, they were saying, right, well, we'd rather sell Brennan Johnson at the end of the transfer window, where we have a bit more of a negotiation period, where other teams can get a bit more desperate. And it's a bargaining tool. It happens all the time. But you can understand the cutoff point of the 30th of June because mm-hmm. that's the end of that cycle of the Premier League as you yeah. see it. Mm-hmm. So it's it's a strange one because it does then impinge on how they do business, especially as a team who are in the Premier League for that one season.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Brendan Johnson, because of the nature of the player he mm-hmm. is, people are always going to try and pick him off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think maybe that's something that can be changed going forward. That period ends at the end of a transfer window. There's a lot to be learned from it, but what they need to get in place is a set of consistent rules for consistent breaches, so that we're not in this situation where
and the timing has to be consistent.
Yeah,
as well,
of course, absolutely. That sort of goes without saying. I mean, I think it's telling, isn't it, that clearly a lot of these rules were put in place as a deterrent, with a hope that they would never need to be used, and now that they've been used. Yeah. The implementation of the punishment is absolutely all over the place. So they need to think about that. I think one other thing that's slightly concerning is this rebellion against the rules themselves.
Yeah,
the,
I agree
the clubs
with that.
Are putting forward, mm. and like Everton fans in particular were sort of encouraged to go with the sort of corrupt signs and things like that, because the point of these rules being in place is that we don't get another lead. Mm-hmm. We don't get situations where clubs like put themselves to the wall, essentially, yeah, by massively, massively overspending.
Which happens all the time in the Football League. Absolutely. With some teams that have actually been in the Premier
League. But it's
before.
Being forgotten. This is being put forward as if there's a sort of growing number of voices that think, or are certainly saying, that these rules are in place to basically keep the rich clubs rich and stop everyone else being able to compete. But that's not the case at all. You know, you've just got to spend wisely. You've just got to run your club well.
Well on that point, Jim, if I may, I think that... I do understand that from the smaller clubs, but it's kind of like, well, when do you do this? It's just unfortunate that I think that is the case. But the clubs did vote in the rules.
Absolutely, yeah. They will signed up to it. They will agree to it.
There are loads of things that have happened that have absolutely made it less competitive and have pulled the ladder up mm-hmm. by the big clubs. The one I always talk about is ECCC, which I think is the worst thing that's happened to football in terms of a actual footballing point of view mm-hmm. for ever since I can remember. But I don't think this is it, chiefly because I think that if they iron out the kinks in it and they get the timing right, it's really the best system you have. Like, I mean, and the clubs clearly agree on that because they voted it in. Having said that, the part of the reason they voted it in is because they wanted to stave off an independent regulator, mm. and they're all still briefing against the independent regulator now. I saw something, David Sullivan the other day saying that he doesn't want anything change because the Premier League's the best thing in the world, and so why would you change it? So,
good point.
Yeah. I mean, fucking hell.
Yeah, it's a funny old one. Well, the points deduction does mean Nottingham Forest are in the relegation zone, 1 point behind Luton Town now. Luton in 17th once again.
Who have taken 4 points off them this season?
Yeah.
Luton.
Hey.
You know, so, yeah.
Hey.
There you go.
Justice was done.
It's still in their hands as well, isn't it? So they've got Sheffield United and Burnley still to play. Burnley is their last game of the season. 5 of their last 9 games are at home as well. Like, it's, you know, I suppose the way to project this back onto football is that, you know, bring the squad together, this, that and the other. But it does make, you know, now it's done.
Yeah.
It does narrow their focus a little bit towards the end of the season.
A little bit. Like I say, in terms of a footballing thing, I just wonder if the best thing for Forest, if I was again in that club in any kind of role... you're just saying, right, now you know what the score is, right, that's done, and now focus. Whereas if you appeal and so on, will the players sort of think, I'm not saying the players then go half-arsed on the pitch, but again, that's that thing, there's that cloud, there's that slight uncertainty. But we should say that the idea of a team being relegated after the season's been concluded, if you see what I mean, when the points, that's, everyone's saying that's not going to happen. Premier League say this will be concluded, all done and dusted. Everton's one is going to be more complicated.
Yeah, because there's two different ones.
Exactly.
But but I do think, Mark, there's an element here of like this happening to a football club could be like super corrosive for the playing staff.
Yeah.
Because if you're going there busting your nuts, like, and you are working so hard physically and mentally to compete in the most competitive league in the world, and you go out and you get a really big result, or you know, you kind of finally pick up a bit of momentum, and like you guys were saying, the absolute bean counters upstairs can't get their shit together. And also, Brendan Johnson as well. I mean, I know in this case, it's a case of him leaving the club. But imagine if Brendan Johnson's name was him coming to the club and it was him then buying him that caused all this problem. Yeah. You're heaping a lot of pressure on the players' shoulders as well, from no fault of their own. So I think it can be a little bit more corrosive than than we think, and it's quite difficult to separate the things out. Mm-hmm. So it could have a wider implication.
But
even,
the fact is
even
that
now.
This is not, you know, we were going 31 in a 30 mile an hour zone.
No,
they were way over, way over,
and everyone knew it was happening.
Yeah,
everyone knew it was happening.
Brian, and I wouldn't be surprised. 22 players in that window. It was such a huge deal. Everyone's going, "What are they doing?"
We were talking about it in the same context as Chelsea. Chelsea spends so much money, and Forest were doing the same. We're like, "What's happening here? This doesn't seem right."
Yeah, and obviously we were doing it from more of a footballing point of view. Like, blimey, you know, are they even going to be able to do any sort of team
about 46
team?
Goalkeepers?
Oh dear, and they're still letting in goals.
Yeah, it's just a bit shit for the season overall, isn't it?
Yeah,
just on the most basic level, it's just shit.
But they've had what they've had to do though, Jim, is they've had
Premier League spokesman Jim Campbell. Yeah.
But Jim, they've had to bring in a sporting element to the punishment, right?
Yeah,
because before
it
just used to be financial, unless it was like a proper seismic thing, like a team going to administration or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they've crossed that Rubicon into like sporting punishments now, because they hope maybe in the longer term it'll iron it out and it'll be, as you said earlier, it'll be a proper like preventative measure, be like a deterrent effectively.
But there are four clubs with these question marks hanging over them, and it's as we've said before, it is, could there be clearer evidence that you need some sort of regulator?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's unable to regulate itself. It's too big, too unwieldy. The rules are too opaque.
Jim, I think you were right when you said it's just shit.
Yeah, it's shit.
Something that's not shit, though, everybody. We're going to move on from Nottingham Forest to England.
That's the admin bit done, guys.
Yeah,
everyone relax
well
now.
Done, everyone.
Thanks to everyone listening for getting through that bit with us.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cobby Mainoo's in.
Oh, yeah. Huge news.
Come on.
What happens in the Speller household when there's a new one of Gav's governors? Sorry, Gaz's governors.
The celebration, Jim.
Yeah, do you have a little corner? Everyone gets a plaque.
We quickly put up a chandelier and we'll swing from it. Cobby Mainoo, yes. I said on Monday, I said, you know, after seeing him against Liverpool, you know, and Gareth listened. He did listen. Yes, his first call up to the England men's senior squad. He's been promoted, fast-tracked from the under-21s. I don't know whether the fact that Garner are sniffing around him makes a difference or not, because he is eligible to play for them, of course. And even if he does play in these friendlies, because of his age and one or two other bits and pieces, he could still play for Ghana. But we hope that's not going to be the case, because we rate this young man quite highly. So what do we think, gentlemen? Jim, do you think that there's a chance he could even go to the Euros?
It feels like he's there on work experience, doesn't it? Because he's
shadowing Jude Bellingham.
Well, it's not that anyone's dropped out, which is what I'd
yes,
assumed
that's right,
when I
yeah.
first saw the news. But I think, obviously, Southgate is... has found a way to get a proper look at him without kind of sacrificing someone he's more likely to take to the Euros, which is obviously, you know, the smart and measured thing to do in this situation. But I think the performances he's put in have been very, very good for Man United. In a midfield where it probably stands out a bit more than it might at some other clubs because they've had so many troubles there before. So I still think it's unlikely that he'll make the Euro squad, but he's got a real chance here, isn't he? And you never know with injury as well. There aren't that many midfielders in the squad. One of the midfielders is listed Cole Palmer, who's a forward as well. So it's a very, very small number there. So actually, it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. Vish, are you happy to see one of your beautiful Manchester United men get in there?
Yeah, just...
But men, he's a boy.
Yeah, he is a boy.
Are
you
legally a man now?
No,
no. 18?
No, 1 to 18, you're a child.
Oh, yeah. But how come you can vote them when you're 18?
Because they're generous.
It's actually good of them. That's why
Fish, as you're talking, I'm just going to check this.
You carry on, Fish.
He's very exciting. He's been very good for Manchester United. As Jim says, in a kind of sea of shite, you know, in that midfield, he has been, you know, I suppose not an anchor in the sense that they're like, you know what you're going to get from him, but he, you know, just having a young man who makes correct decisions seemingly every time he gets the ball, can jink past players.
He is a man.
Okay. Oh, good.
I
got confirmation.
Confirm.
I'm a man.
He's just a man.
We've got confirmation about what everyone else in the country already knew. That's good to know.
Just an innocent man.
Yeah.
But then, so Gary Neville described him as a Manchester City player. And as much as painful as that is, you know exactly what he means.
Yeah.
Just someone who's a young kid who's very plug and play, and he's been, you know, playing a fair bit and handled quite well by Ten Hag, I thought, considering I think he made his first of 20 odd appearances for the first team at the end of November.
It was after England last played.
Southgate did say, didn't he? He said that, you know, the equivalent age of players that we've brought in before, Saka and Bellingham, and they had played loads more games than Mane who's played now.
It's also important to say that, you know, he does play a similar position to Bellingham. I don't think he plays in a position that England are searching for at this moment. You know, you spoke, I think, on last week's show about. Mm. how John Stones seems the most likely to slot into that deeper role beside Declan Rice. That's not really a position that Maynou plays much.
Where would you have him in a midfield three?
I'd kind of have him as basically the... Basically, going forward, what Bellingham does. And it's absurd to say that for two reasons. One, because Bellingham's amazing. Two, because Bellingham is only 2 years older than him.
Well, Bellingham has been playing a bit further forward for Real Madrid, certainly at the start of the season.
But when Bellingham plays for England, Bellingham is going to play basically next to those two and going back and forth and drifting out wide.
So it's all about that dynamic in midfield. Are you having Rice as some like to say, a pivot in front of the defence, and the other two are sort of shuttlers, as I'd like to describe it, or people use numbers, say number eights, for example. Do you do that? Or, like Southgate did against, say, Scotland in the last international window, I'm pretty sure that was the last international window, he had Rice and Phillips more behind Bellingham, and Bellingham was more like a number 10 to sort of be released. And that will determine that midfield dynamic, of course.
I suppose he would do that, but I should also say that I don't think Maynou is going to go to the Euros at all. It's far too early.
So we're aware, you don't see him slotting next to Rice behind Bellingham.
Maybe going forward, but I don't think he's...
I think it's way too early to make a decision.
I don't think he's shown that yet.
Yeah. Okay. Southgate himself has said he doesn't see him kind of settling as a defensive midfielder, really. Right. And I don't necessarily...
I also feel like I understand that Southgate is continuing to do what he's done in the past, where he brings a young player in to get him used to the camp because he thinks he's got a lot of potential. And I think no one who's, you know, anyone who's watched Maynou will understand he's got a lot of potential, right? He's obviously a very, very talented young player and has definitely stood out, as you guys mentioned, and I totally want to reiterate that. He's definitely stood out as a calm and cool head for his age among a lot of chaos, right? Even some of the best performers at United this season, there's a chaotic energy to it. It's a Bruno Fernandes being everywhere, or it's a it's a Garnacho running himself into the ground, or it's a Rashford 1 minute letting someone drift past him and then scoring a winner. It's very chaotic. And he's stood out as being a cool, calm head, and that's important. But I do think that there's an element of it that he is very, very raw, and I think he's been overrated by the fact that he's playing for Manchester United because Ten Hag's promoted him quite quick. I remember seeing him play at Forest, and he was subbed off at half-time, didn't really do much. I remember seeing him in that game where they lost at home to Fulham quite recently.
But you can't compete.
True, actually. Yeah. His apples and oranges,
come
big
on,
time.
Come on.
But joking aside, he didn't really do much, and it's a home game against Fulham. It's not I'm not trying to criticise the kid. I'm just saying the difference between, say, him and Bellingham, which is perhaps unfair, but we are talking about spots in the England team here.
Yeah.
And that's where Bellingham is. And of course, he's miles behind Bellingham. But the difference is when Bellingham burst onto the scene a couple of years ago and was doing things, you take a game like that, if he happened to be playing at Man United and it was, you know, Fulham at home, or it was, you know, whatever it was in that game that he got dragged off, Forest away, he's dominating those games. He's grabbing every single headline on the game itself and dominating the game, and he can't be ignored. This isn't that. This isn't that at all. And there's definitely been performances this season where you've gone, okay, he probably shouldn't be being relied upon as often for Man United because they're Manchester United and because he's 18. I don't think this is a... This ain't a Jude Bellingham wonderkid situation waiting in the wings.
It's not. Well, we'll get him off the plane then.
He's not going to be on the plane.
It's not a player forcing himself into contention, is it? It's essentially a hole opening up in the squad.
Well, not even a hole being created for him in the squad.
To fill.
Yeah.
You said, I mean, it sounds dismissive, but it kind of is work experience.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. Yeah.
Because, you know, as you said, plug and play is a really interesting way of like describing how some of those Man City players in particular seem to work. You can't necessarily do that with the national team. We've seen it so many times. It's not like Football Manager, is it? You don't just pick a player whose stats are good for a club, throw them into the country, and it's the same. So they need this bedding in period, and we know that. And I think it's a smart move from Southgate.
Very smart.
I agree with that. Definitely agree with that.
Yeah,
I don't want to be out of order on the kid.
No. I think it's the right decision for everybody involved. This. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that you can't take away is certainly from a Manchester United perspective, he has been a really surprising bright spot in a season that at times looked like being really, really quite bleak, especially just having a midfielder to come in and
the fans and everyone associated with the club, particularly fans, love it.
Yeah.
When a prospect comes through, and rightly so. He's a really talented kid full of potential.
Speaking of Manchester United, did you see that it's been reported that co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe has now made Gareth Southgate his number one choice to replace Erik ten Hag in the summer? What do you think of that?
It feels very Ineos.
It feels very incredibly at odds with everything else he's saying, isn't it? About sort of building things and, you know, not spending big money on like one or two big names because they've done that in the past, and trying to sort of, you know, bring young players through, bring the good times back, et cetera, et cetera, make the football exciting. And the reason I say that that seems at odds with that is because whatever you think of Gareth Southgate, bringing him back into club football, especially at a team of that level, is not without risk,
yeah,
because he's been out of the club game for such a long time. He's almost certainly a much better manager now than when he started, mm-hmm, with England, and I think we have to, you know, be fair to him about that. But we have no idea how he's going to apply to the club game.
It might, yeah, be that even if he wants to do it,
yeah, and, yeah, and of course
him and Yogi Love co-managers.
Just Gareth sniffs Yogi's fingers.
Ah, yeah. Why did I mention that? Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Yogi Love's fault, mate.
Mm. Yeah, I think this smacks of. I think people sometimes get confused with a very successful person in a completely different area, quite liking football and knowing something about it.
Yeah, yeah, this, yeah, has proper management consultant energy.
Yeah.
I think he thinks this is a great PR exercise.
Yeah, my take, yeah, on this is that he has got such a basic understanding of the game that he's like, well, Gareth Southgate's popular.
Yeah.
So I think people would like the fact that I'll say that I'll consider Gareth Southgate.
Mm. What's the biggest, yeah, job in the country? Well, England manager, surely.
Yeah, so I'll just take that.
Managing the whole country.
Mm. It's a man who doesn't read the comments, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, fair play to him for that. Does it smack as much as Bukayo Saka's Nando's sauce, Luke Moore?
I love Nando's. I was literally
saying... And you love
saying,
Bukayo Saka?
I do. And I was saying this morning that the thing I love about Nando's is it's a great leveller.
Yes.
You know,
it is. I totally agree with you.
If we have people in at Stack to do a pilot or something, it doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah.
We've had university professors.
Princes and paupers.
Yeah. Everyone's happy with Nando's. Everyone's happy with Nando's.
Yep.
Yeah, even vegetarians have got a chance.
They have.
Yeah.
Well, it's chicken, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That counts.
It's not red meat.
Yeah, you
so
can have it.
Right,
once
fine.
A week, you can have it. And that a wafer thin ham.
Turkey
and
ham.
The fact that Bukayo's done a peri-peri Saka sauce,
yeah,
it makes me like him more. And I don't, yeah, think that was possible,
because
he's the most endearing man in football anyway.
Well, we all agree with that. He's opted, he went for a smoky barbecue and tomato sauce, which is lovely. He said, Saka said, the sauce mixes sweet, spiciness and smokiness. Oh, blimey.
Jim, why did anyone else think about doing that before?
Yeah, I know. What a balance.
You know,
does he have to do everything around here? He also said that family's very important to him, and when his dad liked the sauce, he knew he was onto something. It's like, this is already really adorable. You,
yeah,
know, you don't need to add that cherry on,
yeah,
top.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But thank you for doing
so. I reckon he and I have eaten in the same Nando's in Ealing.
At the same time? Because otherwise it's boring.
Yeah, who cares? You're in central London all the time. Imagine the people...
Actually, I've got one.
Ealing Common. Saka, if you're listening,
he's not.
I bet you've eaten at Nando's in Ealing Common.
Saka, so if you're listening...
You didn't see him in there or anything.
No, Jim.
It's like me saying, Saka, if you're listening, I've used Heathrow Airport before as well.
No, because this was before Nando's was everywhere. I'm convinced
Ealing
had one of the first Nando's.
A few points on that. First of all, you always seem to fly from Stansted or Luton.
No, last few times.
Secondly, you are not using the same part of Heathrow Airport as Bukayo Saka. He's getting whisked through.
British Airways.
Yeah, he's getting whisked through is what I'm saying.
To British Airways.
Terminal 5.
Good boy.
Yeah, good.
I've used Terminal 5 before.
You're good.
Didn't see Saka there.
No.
So what's your point?
He's probably been through at some point.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think it was a bad story by Vish.
I'm just saying, I think we're, basically if he was influenced by that, I've been there.
I have been in the same place as Bukayo Saka before. I'll have you know.
Wembley Stadium.
Yeah. There we are.
Is this what you talk about on cricket tour? It's a lot of downtime.
Where other people might have been.
It's 2 months.
It's a lot of downtime when the game's actually happening.
Indeed, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Coming up in the second half, we've got Wales, a former England goalkeeper coming out of retirement, and Kevin Keegan building walls.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
But this is a question I think I asked last year that you might know the answer of. You might not. It's all about why don't goalkeepers wear caps anymore? All goalies used to wear caps when it was sunny. And now we've got global warming, allegedly.
Lee Dixon there.
Can't I used say to, anything anymore, can you?
I used to ghostwrite for Lee Dixon.
Yeah. And, and did you write that one?
That was basically how it went.
Yeah.
Normally, yeah.
Brad Nemo.
Oh, no.
From Andrew.
Oh, that's okay.
He says, I was clearing through some of my old stuff from my parents' house and found an old copy of a trivia book called John Motson's National Obsession and found a section about Kevin Keegan. It's headlined, Keegan, the new Hadrian. Kevin Keegan recently revealed that he likes to build brick walls in his spare time. The former European Footballer of the Year has turned his back on traditional extracurricular activities like golf and horse racing and has instead developed a keen interest in construction. He told the Manchester City website, I love building brick walls when I'm out of the game. My wife calls me Hadrian, as I have this habit of building walls when I have time on my hands. However, Keegan was quick to deny the suggestion that he would be trading his tracksuit for work boots and a white van any day soon. The game is in your blood. There is only so much gardening and decorating you can do. Now, it sounds like these walls like, are just sort of in the middle of the garden.
Now we know really how the Berlin Wall came down.
You've missed the full quote, and he said, I'm absolutely delighted to be chosen as the builder for Captain Tom's daughter's spa. Oh,
dear. Do you imagine when he was in Germany? He goes to Berlin. I just had another brick. Oh, the Soviets have gone, I'll just take it down. That's why it came down.
Do you reckon every now and again his wife hears like muffled shouts because he's accidentally like built himself in?
Yeah. I haven't done a door.
I've done it again.
Oh, I've built a well again, not a wall.
He would accidentally build the wall on the Mexican border, wouldn't he?
I thought I was doing you a favour. I actually got that book as a stocking filler a few years ago as well.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? My goodness.
Yeah, that's gone to the charity shop.
Oh, dear. Nice to see you giving to charity, though.
Yeah, of course, always.
Having taken so much.
It's gone to the charity shop on the shelf right next to the 15 copies of our book from 8 years ago.
You signed them all, including that one.
Yeah.
Wales versus Finland tomorrow night, 7:45. It's a big one. It's a big, biggity big one because this is a Euro 2024 qualifying playoff semi-final. Jim Campbell, if they win this, they'll play Poland or Estonia next week for a place at the actual Euros proper.
Yes. And they'll be at home because they're seeded. So they'll be at home in
not
that game.
Not for the Euros,
well.
Mate. It's in Germany.
Good news for Wales as well.
They'll be at home in the final, Marcus. You're the Nations League. Yeah. Get your accuracy right. Yeah. You're the only one in the whole country that cares about the Nations League.
Yeah, they are in the playoff final. Again, we should stipulate. Yeah. So, yes, Jim, big one.
Yeah, huge one. And also, good news for Wales, but perhaps bad news for you, mate, is that Marcus Force, possibly the... the most fantastically named player in current football is missing for Finland through injury. So,
well, I think as you know, I'm a man who likes the home nations to do well, and so I think that's good news for Wales. So therefore, it's good news.
So in
for
this
me.
Case, it's good to not have a Marcus in there.
Well, because of his surname, I mean, blimey, you could do without that, of course. Although, think of the headlines, though.
Oh, yeah. Full
think
force.
Of, think of the headlines.
If he signed for Fulham, full force.
Now you're talking. Get him in there.
Is he good enough to play for Fulham?
I assume not.
You haven't seen him play much?
No, not at all. Well, no, we're not going to hear tomorrow night because he's injured. Ethan Ampadu, though, should play tomorrow night. You would imagine the 23-year-old set to become the youngest player to reach 50 caps for Wales, breaking Chris Gunter's record.
How is he 23?
Do you know what? Speaking of work experiences and Kobbie Mainoo, he was given work experience he was 16 years old. And Chris Coleman invited him to train with the Wales squad ahead of the Euros in 2016. And he said that he went there and he would go back to school in Exeter, where he's from. And his classmates, you know, like, because England beat Wales, but he said, oh, well, obviously Wales had a better tournament, so he had the last laugh, all that kind of stuff. But just crazy. That is the dictionary definition
of
work
his experience. Summer.
Yeah, mate. Unbelievable.
He's had an interesting career so far, Ampadu, because he was obviously really highly rated as a young man, picked up by Chelsea very early on.
As we all were.
Yeah. Which would have been, I think, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying, to do a call back to the first half of the show, if ETPP wasn't in place, wouldn't have been legally allowed to happen. Yeah. He would have ploughed his trade at his home club, which he had been at since he was like 7 years old. But he also had some really interesting loan spells at Venezia and Spezia and stuff. And obviously now playing for Leeds.
RB Leipzig as well, really early on.
Yeah, but he didn't play much there.
No.
I do remember him going there vaguely. But it's also great for us to have a competitive game in this kind of international break at the key port of the domestic season. You know, most teams are going to be doing warm-up games, trying things out ahead of the big tournament in the summer. So it's good to have a competitive game to get stuck into tomorrow night. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Aaron Ramsey's been called up for Wales.
Have we slagged him off in the past?
I don't know.
I think we slagged him off, and then Welsh fans, some of them agreed with us and some of them got annoyed with us.
Well, why did we slag him off?
I think it's more to do with the fact that, like, they need to eventually move on. From memory, they were bringing him back when he was half fit.
Well, he's played 72 minutes for Cardiff since September.
There you go.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I kind of forget that he's still a professional footballer.
It's Jordan Henderson in the England squad, though, isn't it? It's the same thing.
It's the experience.
And it's about, you know, what he brings
to the
group collective.
Yeah, okay, all right. No, that I do go good. Well played, Jim. Well,
the nostrils are still twitching, though.
Yeah, I just, to be fair, a move to Saudi would be a good one for Aaron Ramsey. You got to say.
Oh, of course it would. Yeah. You're loving it, wouldn't he?
Oh, now you don't mind when they go.
I don't.
Got him there, didn't I, everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Smoked him out.
God, I embarrassed myself there.
Yeah, he's only played 72 minutes, so that's why I'm a bit like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that must be the reason then, right?
You would have thought so, yeah. You would have thought so. I mean, yeah, I did. I'm just pleased that Gareth Bale's not there still. Yeah.
Because probably tried.
He's not a professional footballer, but he's still
phone,
started.
He?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's played a lot.
So Masters next week.
Yeah, that's true. That's the only reason why he's not there.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to Wales, of course. Speaking of Cardiff City, by the way, they lost to Swansea at the weekend in the big derby. Mm. Swansea coaching staff were filmed singing Cheer Up Errol Bullitt in the bar after the game, because Big Errol is the Cardiff City manager. That's unprofessional, but yet we love to see it.
I think that's all right, isn't it? That's kind of what you want from as a fan,
it's
from your manager.
It's a crazy, crazy derby.
Hence, I said we love to see it, but it's not very professional.
Despite what we said earlier about Forest and Everton, let's enjoy as much as we can when people are as unprofessional as possible.
Yeah, but it's like
a big part of it for me.
It's like scales on a guitar. You know, you've got to know when you can break the rules and when you can't. You got to know when to be unprofessional and when
you've
not.
You've got to know the rules to break them.
Exactly.
When you did that, you did a little bit of your left-handed air guitar there.
That's
even
right.
Though you're a right-handed person. Jamal Lowe scored for Swansea against Cardiff, aka Jams. Ply this trade at Fratton Park at Portsmouth.
Another one.
So Pompey influencing the game still in the way that Southampton can only dream of.
Indeed.
Which is nice to see.
That is very nice to see.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a Pompey player in there.
Well done, Pompey. Well, let's from one former Pompey man to another one.
Mm.
David James, former England goalkeeper and Pompey man, came out of retirement to play Sunday League this weekend. Now, is that truly coming out of retirement?
I was going to say,
have I misled everybody?
Yeah, is that like, so if David James went to the gym, it's like, oh, he's eye up a comeback.
Your cut off?
He's just getting his steps in.
Yeah.
No, because it's not
if Usain Bolt is about to miss a plane and has to get to the gate.
Yeah.
Has he come out of retirement?
Well, which airport's he going to? He's a sucker in the way.
There was a story of, sorry, Marcus, there's a story of, I forget which sprint it was, an American sprinter, not a Jamaican, and he got a bag ripped off him in an airport. And a rip and run, basically. Just chase the guy down in like 5 seconds. Cheers, I have that back. You basically stole a bag off an Olympic sprinter.
That's the thing. If you ever do that off an Olympic sprinter, if you ever steal something off them, just run around a bend. Because yeah. if he's 100 yeah. metres per day, they can only go straight.
Straight yeah. to the wall.
Yeah.
Play the long game.
Yeah, but you say that, but if they're a marathon runner, then you might be able to outrun him for a bit and be like, he's still there.
Have you seen that footage?
He's still coming.
Then go into water, because there's always, marathon runners always stick on land, don't they?
Okay. Do you have any other tips for people to steal things, Vish? Yeah.
Well, listen to Uncut.
Yeah. Oh, it's all right. He's only a pace setter. I'll drop off in a minute. Have you seen the footage on Instagram? Someone did an Instagram
thing. He's got a javelin, oh crap.
Someone did an Instagram thing where he compiled a load of different types of professional athlete and put them on a treadmill to see how long they could keep up the world record marathon pace for.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it's basically under a minute for most of them.
It's terrifying, wow. isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah.
They're running like crazy.
Oh, the pace that they go.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, the story about David James.
J-Mo.
The story isn't that he's come out of retirement or not. The story is that he scored a 25-yard free kick yeah. winner.
But didn't yeah. it sort of bounce off of the post and then off the back of the goalkeeper's head? It's a really, sounded like really an own embarrassing goal. One for the goalkeeper.
OG then. Doesn't
especially
count.
When a goalkeeper himself has scored it against
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he played in midfield for AFC Hutwood. Mm. Yeah, and scored a few. It would help him in their title race. He said on local radio he kept begging the manager to take him off. I'll tell you something. When I saw a photo of this, I thought to myself, oh, was that, is that when David James was like a youth player or something? He looks amazing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's in great nick. Like,
he looks a decade younger than he is at 53. Least.
53.
Yeah. yeah.
I couldn't believe.
And what I couldn't believe as well is he's also playing as part of the Southampton club football pyramid. Mm. Even though he's a Pompey legend. So, I mean, he needs to think about his optics there, really.
Still influencing the game.
Maybe he's a sleeper agent.
Maybe he is. Yeah. I don't know. But the reason why I think you could argue he's coming out of retirement is because the parameters have to be it's a competitive league. So he goes down the park.
No, but he's a professional footballer. It's not being professional.
Well, I think that's what people are saying. Yeah, so you're saying that. So what about semi-pro? Would you go on semi-pro?
If he takes a... It's like the old story about...
Is he getting any money?
There's an old story about how I think it's like Frank Sinatra or something. It might not be him, but back in the day, Frank Sinatra, who was a very keen golfer, let's say it was Frank Sinatra.
Mm. He's a good singer as well.
He was not bad, not bad. Mm. He scored a hole in one in a charity golf tournament,
did he?
A pro-am tournament, uh-huh. and the prize was a car. And he took the car, and then the regulations of the sport said after that, you are no longer officially an amateur player, so you can't enter any amateur tournaments now.
Is that right?
Because you're officially now a professional player because you've had recompense. Mm. Remuneration for playing the sport. Wow. So I think if you're semi-pro yeah. and you took even a tenner, mm-hmm. That's you. That's professional.
So Frank Sinatra. He didn't have to do a handbrake turn on the green, though, did he?
No, I don't know if it was Frank Sinatra. And I don't know if that story was that accurate, but it's you understand what
the
I'm
the point
getting.
Is being made
yeah,
through
yeah.
A parable about Frank Sinatra.
It's an allegory.
Yeah.
So it's a biblical allegory.
Jim.
I was going to say that Frank Sinatra was apparently originally in line to play John McClane in Die Hard due to some old rights thing. Because Die Hard was adapted from a novel.
Jim, we're not on Ramble Uncut right now. Yeah.
This is the sort of thing you can expect. But yeah, Frank Sinatra was in line to...
So Frank Sinatra,
I have never seen Vish look like that before.
So
he
at that point,
it.
Frank Sinatra would have been about 75.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What a movie that would have been.
It would have been incredible, wouldn't it?
Was it a Christmas movie? It's got Frank Sinatra
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, of course
it
is. Yeah.
Frank Sinatra yeah. having a fight with Alan Rickman and winning and Alan Rickman falling off a building.
Yippee-ki-yay. Well, everybody, Patreon subscribers, that is the kind of stuff that you know we have on Ramble Uncut. And if you're not involved, then do sign up, of course. Get over to patreon.com/footballramble. But thank you all for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Of course, everybody can follow us on Twitter, which I believe is called X now, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And do follow us on Spotify as well. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vitusha Navaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank Sinatra.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.